Let's go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. Wonderful song. Wonderful song.
Numbers 22. We'll be looking here this morning concerning Balaam. Numbers 22. Continuing on here with some things about Balaam. Numbers 22, going to pick up here at verse number 22. Numbers 22, 22. Bible says this, "And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall be on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I had slain thee, and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Father, thank you for your word. Give us, Father, please, this morning, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Father, if there's anyone here listening on recording that's never been born again, Father, I pray you draw them to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and help saints to be edified, helped, and warned. We ask this, Father, according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Balaam and his ass. Well, let's break it down, take our time and look at it. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, And God's anger was kindled because he went. Well, now, we looked at this last week, but as by way of review, we'll touch on it again. You remember what happened. Balak, the king of Moab, had sent all these princes and told Balaam, said, Look, there are these folks that dwell against me. I'm talking about the children of Israel. They're a threat to me. Come curse them. And Balaam went to God, and God said, Don't go with them. Don't curse them. They're blessed. End of story. Well, they went back. They came back to Balaam again. This time, more princes and more honorable and a blank check. You name your price, Balaam. So Balaam says, Lord, well, what do we do? And God says, Okay, if they call you, go with them. But the next morning, they didn't call him. He didn't evidently give him time to call him. He got up and went. And remember, brethren, what we said last week. Remember, don't you play no technicality game with God. I mean, can't you see Balaam? I could see Balaam going, Well, I mean, you know, God said I was to go if they called. Well, I mean, the fact that they came to start with, you know, means they called. I mean, you know, they did. It's all how you look at it, you know. And he went. Brethren, they didn't call him. They didn't come to his tent and call him. They didn't. And evidently, he didn't get much time to do it. He just went. And the Bible says God's anger was kindled because he went. All right, and that's where we're going to pick up. So look here at verse 22. God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, this angel of the... Hey, listen. I want you to remember this. I think some of you know it, and those of you don't, give you a little something here. In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, in almost every case exclusively, the angel of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnate appearance. In other words, it's an appearance of the Lord Jesus prior to His taking on a flesh 2,000 years ago. In other words, it's an appearance of the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, in an angelic form. The way that you know that is, the way that you can determine is always look at context. All of what you'll find is, when the angel of the Lord appears to someone, they will be addressed as the Lord. They will be addressed as deity. No angel of God allows himself to be addressed as deity. It happens twice in the book of Revelation. John is taken up into heaven, and twice he tries to bow to an angel. He says, don't do it. You don't do it. Worship God. Peter would not allow man to bow down to him. No, this angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord in the Bible, is none other than the Lord, the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, in an angelic form. Prior to His becoming flesh, as He did 2,000 years ago when He became a man, was virgin born. So the angel of the Lord is the Lord, and distinctly the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's standing in the way with a sword drawn in His hand. Okay? And brethren, let me say this to you. You don't want the Lord being against you. You do not want the Lord being against you. I said it this morning in Sunday school, and I'll say it again. Everybody thinks God is on their side. They do. In the Civil War, the North said, God's on our side. The South said, God's on our side. In World War I, World War II, each side thought, God's with us. God's with us. Lincoln did say one thing that was pretty smart. Lincoln said this. He said, I'm not too worried about if we're on God's side or not, but whether or not God's on our side is whether we're on God's side. The key is, are you on God's side? The Lord can be your most faithful ally or your most fearsome opponent. Seriously. The Lord can be your most faithful ally or your most fearsome opponent. Go to Joshua chapter 5. I mentioned this in Sunday school, but I want you to see it. This is Joshua 5. This incident in Joshua 5 is one of the most... I love it. It's one of those incidents in Scripture that I just love. I picture this in my mind and I just love it. Joshua chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. Man, you gotta love Joshua, huh? Man, Joshua was something else. I mean, he's gonna go prove it. But he's gonna prove all things, hold fast that which is good, but he's gonna find out something. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. Look at that. Nay. Nah, Joshua, you don't get it. Joshua, this ain't a matter of us and them, bud. Joshua, this is a matter of, let me say to Joshua, basically what he's saying is, Joshua, I'm for whoever the Lord's for. You guys do right, Joshua, and I'll fight on y'all's behalf. But Joshua, you guys messed up, and the Lord gives me, I'll come against you in a minute. Look at this. Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Joshua ain't going to worship no angel, and no angel would allow worship. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I love it. Are you for us or for our adversaries? Nay. Captain of the Lord's host. Joshua, you stay right with God and I'll be for you. Mess up, bud. You'll see how I can be against. I'm serious, brethren. The Lord is... You don't toy with Him. He is a great and a holy and a wonderful and a loving God. But He doesn't play with sin and wrong. Again, He can be your most faithful ally or your most fearsome opponent. Notice something. You will have to face the Lord whether you want to or not. Whether you believe it or not, you will have to face the Lord. Here is Balaam. Balaam's going to chase a dollar. He's running off to get glory and honor and reward. But the Lord is standing in the way against him, and he's got to deal with the Lord even though he doesn't realize it. Look here. If you're here listening on recording and you're not saved, if you don't deal with God through Jesus Christ now, you will deal with God concerning Jesus Christ when you depart this life, but it'll be too late. You will deal with it. You will deal with the issue. You will deal with the issue. You will deal with God concerning Jesus Christ. You will deal with it. If you wait to the other side of the grave, it is too late. Nothing to be done. You will pay homage to Jesus Christ one day. You will bow your knee. You will, with your tongue, profess Jesus Christ, confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It'll do you no good. It will not benefit you. It won't get you out of anything. You will go off into the lake of fire, but you will pay him respect and honor. You will do it. The thing of it is, you can now, this side of the grave, voluntarily, of your own free will, surrender and submit to God through Jesus Christ and gain eternal life. You will deal with it. But if you wait, it'll be too late. And let me tell you something, if you're saved this morning, if you're saved, and there's something in your life that you are running from, you can run to Siberia. You can run down to the Argentina. You can run anywhere. You will face it. Don't tell me how God will do it, but you will face it. You can't. If you're saved this morning and there's an issue in your life that you are either not being honest about with yourself, with your God, or with others, if there's something in the way, you will not progress spiritually till that thing is dealt with. It's not happening. You're going to have to deal with it. And if you try to run, it'll hit you every time you open your Bible. You can try to read all the begats in 1 Chronicles, and it'll be whatever you're running from. You will go somewhere, and that thing's going to hit you, and hit you, and hit you, and be there. Run off to Alaska and crawl in an igloo, and somehow. Don't tell me how. Don't ask me how, but somehow, you're going to be confronted with that thing. You will not progress. You will not go forward until you get that thing dealt with, whatever it may be. Please, y'all, please. Please. The Lord, He loves you. He's for you. He won't listen. He is for you. He's not trying to ruin your life. He's not trying to straitjacket you. He's trying to set you free and bring freedom and liberty to you. Anyway, here he is. He's got to face the Lord. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. I'm going to tell you something. We're a mess. I'm tell you something. And some of these who have helped this week with the fire booth can back this up. We're in such a mess today with everything that calls itself Christianity, it's enough to make you cry. Yeah. With everything, I've seen so many paps this week, I'm about embarrassed to look at a cow. That's the truth. I've seen so many paps hanging out, man. I'm about ashamed looking at a cow's udder. Do you know something? And the sad thing of it is, what happens is, I know there's one gal, bless her heart, and she's taking this thing, and the whole time you're trying your best, just, okay, you may think eye contact, because you sure don't want her to think that you're looking at her, and everything hanging out all over, and you know what happens? She goes away. And I'm a Sunday school teacher. Now, folks, look here. We're in a mess. We're in a mess. You young folks, look here. Listen, please, folks. Listen, young'uns, listen. But God made your body, young girls, for your husband's eyes someday, period. Yes, sir. Let me tell you something. A young man, God made your body for your wife's eyes someday, period. You understand? And it's not because God is trying to straitjacket you and deny you. God wants you to have a healthy, wonderful, private, intimate life. God wants you to enjoy it. He's the one gave you the gift. But he knows the devil tries to ruin it and turn it upside down with exposure and with just constant exposure and in front of you all the time. He's trying to mess you up. Youngins, I don't know if you're going to believe me or not. All I can do is tell you. God is trying to help you out. He's trying to give you something good. It doesn't matter what everybody else or every other professing Christian does. I know the lies the devil says. Well, they love God. They love God and God's using them. You don't know that. That all comes out one day at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't know what God's doing in that person's life. You don't know. But you know what's right and what's wrong. And the devil slides up and he says, but no, boy, look at me. If he's a right boy, he'll look at you for right reasons. And you can't understand that God wants to give you something good with that young Christian boy someday and watch you two grow together in intimacy and give you something good. Thank God for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Young folks, there are people in here trying to help you, care about you, love you. God wants it to where two young people are just as bashful and innocent as can be and end up growing together.
Amen.
They end up all bashful and all awkward and all fumble and just everything, but then they grow in love with one another. And when they center on one another in love, something happens there that just cements that thing. Don't you see? I was trying to help you. And the devil's trying to rob it from you and take it from you. Doesn't matter what goes on in the name of professing Christianity. What does the Bible say? What does God say?
Amen.
Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Well, who is it with whom we have to do? The Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we have to do with. And you know what? All things are naked and open unto Him. In other words, He sees everything. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees everything. He sees the intents of the heart. He sees those things. You know what? How many people this week, last week and a half, have I asked? I've said, come on now. You know you've done things your mom and daddy don't know about. And that head goes down. And I said, look here. Y'all look here. We're guilty. That's why we need the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can't be making excuses. You can't be ducking and dodging. And you can't be playing technical matters, what technicalities with God. Look here. Go back now to Numbers 22. Watch this. Now, you're going to have to deal with God. And if there's something you're running from, if there's something you're not facing up to, you are not going to progress spiritually. You will not progress spiritually till that thing's dealt with. I'm just telling you, you were hit a dead stop. And you ain't going beyond that. Okay? I'm talking to saved people. If there's some matter that needs to be dealt with, you better deal with that thing honestly before the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's Balaam. Balaam thinking, you know, I just can't help but wonder if Balaam wasn't playing technicalities with God. Balaam, now if they call you Balaam, you can go. I just imagine Balaam at night. Maybe I'll let my teeth flap this morning, flap a little bit. They'll know I'm here. Over here. Maybe you're sitting there going, you know, God said if they call. Well, they're here. That's a call. They're here. That's calling. You know. And he gets up and he goes on his way. Balaam's going on his merry way. Balaam can't see that the angel, the Lord of hosts, the Lord God, is standing there. He knows the way he's going to take. There he comes with a sword. And at any moment, he could take Balaam out. Did you realize nobody sees that angel yet? The angel of the Lord. Nobody sees the Lord there. And if, did you realize if he took Balaam out, all somebody would know is, Balaam's dropped down dead. Because there's something about the Lord. When that angel held that sword over Jerusalem, they were dying from the pestilence. Just dying. I mean, all they had to do was apply that thing and Balaam, boom, he'd be dead. And people would wonder, what if it was a stroke? What was a heart attack? What do I have to? He just fell down dead. And he didn't know as he's counting those dollars. He's counting those dollars and that prestige. The Lord is standing right there waiting on. But let me tell you, people, you hear me. People, you hear me tonight. Let me tell you how good God is. Listen to me this morning. Let me tell you how good God is. God could have took him out at any time. But watch how the Lord does it. He's given him a very narrow chance. And the only one that cared about him was an ass. May God help us if an ass outdoes us. Look at this. Take your Bible. Watch this. I want you to look at it. Remember now, the Lord could have killed Balaam at any time. And no one would have known what had happened. They would have just known that he fell down dead. He could have killed him any time. Keep this in mind. Look at verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So, look, it's kind of like this. Y'all follow me a little bit. Notice how this kind of thing, God starts out wide and he starts getting narrowed down here. Well, here comes Balaam and that ass, right? And the Lord's standing there with that sword drawn in his hand. And that ass sees the Lord standing there. And boom, she takes off in the field. That ass just gets it off into that field. Well, you can't imagine Balaam. Can you imagine Balaam riding on that ass? Right on the ass, and all of a sudden that ass just takes off out of the field. And he's going, what in the world? What's got in you? What's wrong with you? He's wondering, what has happened? Did a bee sting it? I mean, what happened? Did something scare it? Is there a snake in the road? What in the world? And the ass just takes off in the field. Listen, that ass saw judgment ahead and took measures. Let me ask you something. Now later on, the Bible terms this ass a dumb ass. Now that is Bible terminology. That's from Peter. We'll see it in a little bit. Dumb in the sense of it can't speak normally. It is dumb. So the Bible says the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Wouldn't it be a shame that an ass had more sense than you got? Because this ass sees judgment up ahead and takes measures. Go to Proverbs 22. What a thing if an unredeemable ass, Proverbs 22, you know, in the sense of, you know, animals, there's no animal heaven and no animal hell. Animals die. And I said, don't you tell your children that Kitty went to heaven. Ain't that interesting? How come no kitties ever go to hell? And I'm not trying to be, I'm ridiculous here, but I'm being honest. Isn't that something? You ever thought about that? Oh, little foo-foo. We'll bury her and hold a little ceremony they do, you know. How come no animal ever goes to hell? You ever thought about that? You would tell me everybody's animal was good. I mean, ain't that something? Look how inconsistent we are. But I guess it's not surprising when everybody dies goes to heaven, huh? Go to a funeral. People live like the devil. Never put faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody's in heaven. Everybody's in heaven, man. You sometimes wonder, good night, who goes to hell? Our Lord talked about it. Scripture talks about it. According to most people, nobody goes there. Let me tell you something. Don't you tell your children a little animal went to heaven. That ain't truth. You tell them the animal died, you want to bury the animal, shed some tears, thing was close to you, understand that. That's fine. Don't you go and put no cockeyed mess and lie to that child. Do you understand that? Don't do that. They hear things, they believe you. And if you tell that stuff long enough, they find out, well, we didn't really mean it. Listen, they're going to take and believe that stuff and find that you disappointed them. Be truthful with them. handle it right. Little animal died, you bury it. You hate it happen. You're thankful you had it, and I hope you enjoyed it. But thing died, and there it is, and you bury it, and you go on. No kitty heaven or nothing like that. Anyway, Proverbs 22. Look at this. Verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. See, look here. The four-legged ass in our story this morning, the four-legged ass has more sense than the two-legged one riding him. You understand? That four-legged ass has more sense than the two-legged one that's riding. Because the four-legged one can see judgments ahead and takes measures. The two-legged one riding is oblivious. All he sees is reward. Somebody said this way. Somebody put it this way. Said, put a little silver behind glass and all a man can see is himself. Man looks through glass and he can see things. Put a little silver behind it and all he can see is himself. You know, sometimes that's the reason I believe the Lord keeps back some things from us riches-wise, because He knows us better than we know us. Yep. And all we tend to see is ourself. So this ass sees this judgment ahead. And you know what she does? She takes measures. She heads off. She heads off out the field. Now look what happened. Look at verse 23. It says, went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. You know what he did? He beat her. He beat her. He took and he beat her. He took takes his staff and he beats her. Listen to me. Things are going to start getting narrower and tighter. And he beats her. And I want you to keep in mind that he's doing that. Look at verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. So look here. Now we started here kind of wide. And the angel of the Lord stood there. But now watch what happens. And also I remind you, the Lord could have killed Balaam at any time. At any time he could have killed Balaam. But notice what he does. He keeps giving an opportunity. So now it moves down a little bit narrower. So the Lord goes a little bit further down. Now it's a little bit narrower. And he stands with that sword in his hand. Watch what happens. It says verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. Now notice what's happening. Things are getting narrower and tighter. First time there was room to run. First time there was room for run. This time, she can't run. See what she does? And she runs up against that wall. And Balaam's foot's there. Can't you just hear Balaam? Oh! What is wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? You done run off in the... Low down. Sorry. Thing. What in the world? And beating that ass. Just whooping that ass. Just taking it, getting that thing right there. Done crushed his foot. I can just imagine how upset he is. Have you lost your mind? What's got into you? You've run off into the field. Now you mash my foot. Listen. You know what, folks? I said it's getting narrow and narrow. Brethren, please listen. When you won't take and mind the Lord. Now you do understand God could take you out any time. Those of us who are saved. Oh, so something that people don't understand today is even if you're saved, if you belong to the Lord, there's chastening with God. And God sometimes will take a rebellious saint out. You say, well, what's the problem with that? I mean, if you get to go on home to heaven, no chance of reward. You went home under shameful circumstances. A lot of people don't understand that. They say, well, I just can't get... Whoa. Does the Bible not say we're ambassadors for Christ? If you're an ambassador for this country in another country, If you disappoint this country, if you show yourself, if you misuse your authority, if you do wrong, are you denied citizenship? No. You are recalled. Guess where you get to come back home to? Your own country. But is that a reward? No, because you lose chance for honor, you lose chance for distinction, you lose chance for being rewarded for faithful service. Yes, you get to come home. But under embarrassing circumstances. That's a saint of God that's saved. Secure. If there is shame in their Lord, yes, He'll call you home to glory. Under shameful, shameful circumstances. No reward, no chance for honor, shame. All right, look here. Watch this. It says in verse 25 again, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot. You see what's going on? This ass had to hurt Balaam in order to save him. This ass had to hurt Balaam in order to save him. When this ass went, and you can imagine an ass throwing itself, like this one right here, just throwed itself and busted all his water. You can imagine the ass throwing itself against that thing and the force that was put out there. Can you imagine that? I mean, because an ass has some power to it. You can imagine her doing it, and you can imagine how that must have felt on his foot. He doesn't understand. She's hurting him to try to save him. Take your Bible. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs 27. Look here at verse number 6. Proverbs 27:6. What does it say? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know something? Folks, there's some people that probably love you and care about you. And you know what? At times, they have probably hurt you, said some things that's hurt you because they love you and are trying to keep you back from ruin and destruction. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You see, look here. This ass had to hurt him and able to deliver him. She saw things he couldn't see. You know something? Sometimes people will see things about you that you either can't see or won't see. And they're trying to tell you and they're trying to help you out. And yes, they may hurt you at times, but it's because they care. And they're seeing down the long run. And they don't want to see destruction brought to you. You see, this is a contest between the Lord and this ass over Balaam's life. It is. Isn't it amazing? Let me tell you how good God is. God is so good, He will put people across your path to try to keep you back from destruction. You say, Brother Doss, I don't understand this. This just seems crazy to me. This just seems crazy. Why doesn't God go ahead, if He wants to take Balaam out, why didn't He just do it? His holiness and justice requires that he do something. But His mercy and His love is because of compassion compels Him to try to find a way out for this man. There is nobody like our God.
Amen.
There is nobody like our God. Do you understand me? You may look at this and go, this thing don't make no sense to me. Listen, our God's holiness and justice requires Him. This man has been rebellious. If God wanted to at any time, He could have took him out and been justified. Been justified. But God's love and mercy is causing him to look even back up every time. Back up. Back up. I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance. God allowed that ass to see him. She takes off in the field. What does Balaam do? Balaam's so blind, he's beating the one trying to save his life. About like you sometimes mean to people who care about you and just trying to tell you the truth.
Right.
About like you sometimes when you are upset toward a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a friend who's just trying to help you, just trying to tell you the truth, and you get an attitude toward them and verbally whoop them.
Amen.
Just like this right here. So the Lord takes, His justice requires, Balaam's rebellious, He'll move back again. Gets a little narrow this time. And that ass, brethren, is an ass going to outdo us? And listen, don't you dare take offense to me interchanging these terms back and forth. Our Savior used words in the animal field to describe people. Because animals have characteristics. He called people snakes. He called them foxes. And asses have attitudes. Don't you dare get upset by making these parallels. None at all. It's interesting. Listen, now sometimes folks will get a problem with that, but yet what they'll watch and listen to.
Yeah.
Look here, our Lord used these kind of examples. You know what happened? Here he comes. It's getting narrow. And that ass, look what she does. First time she runs, she can't run this time. There's a little space right there. There's a little space. I think I can get it. I think I can get him through there. I'll have to hurt him. I'll have to hurt him. He ain't going to like it. But I think I can do it. And she, boom, goes up against that wall, crushes his foot, and gets by. And gets by. And what does he do? Whoops that ass again. Whoops her again. Does it again. Look here, brethren, please listen. Again, this is a contest between the Lord and this ass over Balaam's life. Let me tell you something, young person. Did you know there's in this room there may be a young person or a grown adult? There could be somebody in this room who are listening. And there's a contest between the Lord and somebody who loves you over you. God has every right to take you out. You've given Him every reason to be done with you. You're rebellious. You're self-willed. You sneak around. You hide things. God, you've given God every reason to say, you're done. But there's either a mama, a daddy, a pastor, an uncle, an aunt, somebody praying to God saying, God, have mercy and have grace. And there's a battle. There's a contest going on. And God's not the bad person.
Right.
See, He's good. He is right and just to have to do what you're forcing Him to do. Let me tell you, you say, well, where's the goodness at? He's putting you on somebody's heart to pray for you because you ain't got sense enough to pray for yourself. You understand me? He's putting you on somebody's heart because you ain't got sense enough to pray for yourself. You ain't got sense enough to see where you're at. So God's putting you on some pastor's heart, on some uncle's heart, on some daddy's heart, on some grandma's heart, and getting them to pray for you because He cares about you. Seriously. And you're just going along in oblivion. You're just going along. And it's a miracle you're around. Seriously. Because you know better and you give God every reason to say, that's it. And somebody's contesting with God over you. Again, this ass walking has more sense than the two-legged one riding. Notice that this ass is misunderstood and beaten for trying to save Balaam's life. Let me ask you something. Are you lashing out against those who are only trying to save you from destruction? Are you lashing out against people who only care about you? Young folks, your vision is limited. You've not lived yet. You don't see things from the view of those are older than you. They have a higher view. Just like when you're on a mountain and you're higher up and farther along, you can see more. And they care and they see. And if you're not careful, you're lashing out against those who care the most for you. Well, look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or to the left. So guess what happened? Moved. Look, see this little narrow place? Moved down again. This time, there ain't no place. There is no place to run. She can't squeeze by. There's the angel of the Lord ready to take out Balaam. And I'll be... And I will be. Look at verse 27. And when the angel of the Lord, when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. She just buckled all four legs underneath her and boom, went to the ground. And just there she was. That ass is doing everything she can to keep Balaam back from destruction. Everything she can. It's not that God's not compassionate. God is compassionate. That's why He's allowed this ass to see
Yes, sir.
Him.
Yes, sir.
That's why the Lord's put you perhaps on somebody's heart. Because you're so self-willed and stubborn. You can't see your own condition, your own self. And you know what? This ass, instead of the first time, hey, oh, shameful if an ass outdoes me. Instead of the ass going, I just saved your carcass. When I took off in that field, you know what? And you're going to beat me? Let him take you out then. You're going to beat me? Let him take you out. And so why that ass could have just been right on up and said, is that in good striking view, Lord? Go ahead. She didn't. Right up against the side. He beat her again. Once again, an ass could have said, you ain't worth it, man. Hey, hey, for some oats and grain? I'm getting this. He'll kill you, not me. Maybe he'll say, man, I get sold to somebody treat me better. It ain't worth it. No, sir. That ass still tries to get him out of the way. And finally, the last time. I would imagine just dropping all your legs out for money if you're an ass is probably not a very pleasant thing to do. I don't know. Imagine you loaded up. But you know what she did? Instead of going and saying, hey, two strikes, man. This is enough. I've had enough of this. No, she just does. She does what she can do. Last thing she can do, she just crumbles down. Brethren, may God forbid. May God not look down from heaven and see us going, whatever. Whatever. Lord, they deserve it. Take them. Get them. Let me tell you something. God's holy and He's not playing around. He has to. That's why He has to deal with sin. But He loves us enough, He'll try to put you on somebody's heart that somebody will say, Lord, Lord, please have mercy. Brethren, I'd hate for God to have to take and point to me sometime and say, Jonathan Dawes, you're born of my spirit. You're my son. Even before that, you were a human being. You're higher than the animals. But now you're my son. You're my child. And I had an ass down there that showed more character than you. More compassion than you. Brethren, God forbid it be. God forbid it be so. Look here. What'd she do? She fell right down on the ground. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5. First Peter 5, I want you to look here at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humility, brethren. Humbling down. You know what she did? When she couldn't do nothing else. You ever see a situation, you're like, I don't know what else to do. You know what? Just fall down, humble down, and say, God help. Just God help. Lord, I don't know what to do about my son, my daughter, my relative, my boss, my brother-in-law. I don't know what to do. When you've done what you can do. That ass did everything she could do. When she couldn't do nothing else, she just went all the way to the ground. Sometimes you need to do what you can do. When you've done all you can do, oh God, help. Oh God, just help. Look here, go back just a minute. Look at this. Look at verse 28, Numbers 22, 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Amazing. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou was smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto that, brethren, you got to be pretty hot, man. You got to be pretty outrageously hot and mad when you will reason with an ass. Now think about that. I want you to really think about that just a minute. Think about where this man's got to. You think you can't get that unreasonable? You think you can't get that outrageous? And this whole time, all has been going on to try to save him from destruction. And he reasons back. He says, verse 29, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand. For now would I kill thee. He'd kill that ass in a minute. And God has given him chance after chance after chance. We think so often we're so just and we're so right and we're so this. You know what? If he'd had a half a chance, he'd have killed that ass in a minute. Yet God, for every reason, for every right reason, could have took him out at any time. And He's given him opportunity. Verse 30, and the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass? Upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day. Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Brethren, it's bad when that ass makes more sense than you make, and you've got to admit, well, you got a good point there. But that's bad. That's bad when an ass is more logical than you are. Because you know what? He's got so emotional and so angry. Logic doesn't enter in. Logic doesn't enter in. It's the same thing with us, brethren. Look here. Brethren, you know something? Listen, sin and self-will will make you unreasonable. Sin and self-will, you know what makes you unreasonable? You can't think straight. Your logic is all skewered. You become hypocritical. Sin and self will make you unreasonable. Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. The word forbade in the dictionary means opposed, hindered, obstructed. Again, I submit to you, sin and self-will will make you unreasonable. Do you know something? It's been pointed out, and I find this very intriguing. To get to Adam and Eve, the devil used a subtle serpent. To get to Balaam, God used a dumb ass, according to 2 Peter. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? To get to Adam and Eve, with his, you know, to get the devil used a subtle serpent. To get to Balaam. God didn't use no subtlety. Just a straightforward, plain ass. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1:20 the statement I just made. Watch how it ties in. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. For ye see your calling, brethren. Look at this. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. How about that? The devil uses a subtle serpent. God uses an ass to get to Balaam. And what does the Bible say God's chosen? The foolish things to confound the wise. Brethren, that's why sometimes, I'm telling you, brethren, that's why God will often present truth to you in a form that's going to cause you to have to humble down to receive it. See, God's not going to play to your pride and dignity. See, a lot of people say, preacher, if y'all had a nicer building or bigger place, what? You still can't get the same truth? You still can't get the same things? See, brother, God won't pander to our pride and our sense of dignity. That's why often God will send by your way truth in such a form that like, I don't know. Guess what's throwing you? Guess what's going to mess you up? Your pride. Amen. If Christ had come in a different form, many would have received Him, but still try to maintain their pride, and for the wrong reason. Listen to me real quick. Stay with me. Have you ever noticed in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and those plagues were going on, haven't you ever read how that sometimes the Egyptians took measures? Sometimes they took their cattle out of the field. So the Egyptians sometimes took measures. But there's one thing they would not do. When it came time to put the blood of a lamb on the door, No, we ain't doing that. We're not going that route. Hey, they brought their calves out of the field. They did take some measures. That no one in Israel did. Why? Why? Because according to your Bible, the Egyptians considered sheep and shepherds abomination. And if they were to take a lamb and sacrifice it and put its blood on their door, they would have been saying to all their family, friends, and citizens of Egypt, I've been wrong, and the God of these slaves is right. It would have cost them their pride, and that they were not willing to give up. Think about it. Think about it real good. It's like, can you imagine? I just imagine some little boys going, Daddy, little Eleazar there. They said there's one more coming, and they're putting the blood of a lamb on the door. And Daddy, we're going to do that. Son, they've got their religion. Now, I know there's been some things, but listen, no. They're slaves, son. They've been under our dominion. They're slaves. Do you want it to be said that you worship the way they do? Do you want us to be ostracized? Do you want to be cut off from our friends and our family? Do you want people not to have anything to do? No, son, no. You'll be fine. That's just their God and their stuff. We'll be okay. And all because, listen, pride. Pride. And because they would have had to accept the God of those wretched slaves, the Hebrews. It's the same kind of thing, folks. Same kind of thing today. What keeps men back so often? A lot of people would receive truth if it was just in a more dignified trapping. No, the key is you humbling yourself down. Watch this. Look here. Verse 31. Numbers 22, 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. All right now. He's got to where that ass has got. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. All right. Balaam finally humbles down. Will you? Have you? Have you ever found yourself at the feet of Jesus? Have you ever found yourself at the foot of the cross pleading for mercy before God on the basis of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ? Have you? Will you? If you're saved this morning, but there's something in the way and your pride won't let you get it right. Your pride, your false self-esteem, that junk you got, are you letting it keep you back from humbling down saying, God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong, God. Lord, I've been trying to put the blame on everybody else. I'm my own problem, Lord. I am my own problem. You know, I've said it before, the Lord could have killed him at any time. But he didn't. He gave him chance after chance. I'm just about done. I want you to go to Ezekiel 27. Ezekiel 27. Excuse me, Ezekiel 22. I apologize. Ezekiel 22. You know the verse. Ezekiel 22. Look at verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. You know what's happening in Ezekiel 22? It's just plain. You know what God said? He said, I sought for a man. One man. Among them. The children of Israel. To stand in the gap. Here's a gap. And make up the hedge before me, he said, lest I destroy them. God was coming. His holiness required, he punished them. So here he's coming. But as God's coming, look what he's doing. He's going, come on, is there not someone? Is there not someone who sees the condition of things? Is there not going to be anyone that's going to get in front of me and say, Lord, have mercy. God, please, Lord, just have mercy on them. Come on, is there somebody? Is there someone? The Lord said he couldn't find one. And his justice required he mete out the punishment. That's why in Abraham, God fanned a hedgemaker and gap stopper. Because what did God do concerning Sodom and Gomorrah? Brethren, you know that God could have looked down at any time on Sodom and Gomorrah and said, you're done. What'd he do? He personally came down. When God met with Abraham, go read the story, read it. When God met with Abraham, the Lord's getting ready to go on down to Sodom. But he says to those two angels, shall I hide this thing from Abraham? He says, Abraham, God didn't have to tell Abraham that. Why did he let him in on it? For the same reason he let that ass see him.
Amen.
He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and say, oh God, have mercy. He said, why did God do it? He's holy. He has to punish wrong. Amen. But his mercy, he desires to show mercy. But he needs an intercessor. He needs someone. Now we know for our souls, we got Christ. But I'm talking about his individual situations. He's looking for somebody. He found one with Abraham. He dropped him a little hint. Abraham, I got to go do this. And he knew his man.
Yes.
God knew his man.
Yes.
And Abraham said, Lord, if you find 50, will you spare it? I'll spare it for 50. Lord, 45. Lord, 40. Oh God, I'm taking this one to speak to the, Lord, 30. He got God down to 10. And brethren, maybe we'll ask it in eternity. Nothing saying he couldn't have gone even lower. But Abraham was probably thinking, Lot, surely, Lot. Let's see, Lot, there's you and your wife. We know that there's $2 at home. There's at least $2 that have husbands. That's 8. And Lot, surely, Lot, you've influenced 10 people, 9 others for God. Surely. God let Abram get him down. He didn't have to. God could have done it from heaven. He let him in on it. What was he looking for? A hedge maker and gap stopper. And he found one. Brethren, look here. Just about done, but listen. If the Lord evidently can't find a man, he'll use an ass. That ass, Balaam's ass, had more insight, had more reason, had more compassion, and more fear of the Lord than Balaam did. Brethren, does an ass have more character than you and I? Let me ask you something. Are you resisting those that are trying to save you from destruction? Are you? Balaam gets another chance. Because of a faithful wife? No. Because of a faithful uncle? No. Because of a faithful sister or brother? Because of a faithful servant? No, because of a faithful ass. A faithful ass. I'm about done. If God gives you another shot, what are you going to do with it? If God gives you another chance to get some things right and do right, what are you going to do with it? And will it be said, can it be said, that an ass shows more character and right attributes than you and I, who are the Lord's own? I'm not trying to be sensationalistic here. I'm not trying to make big comments to these big, you know. I'm just be honest. You know, you and I might find that there were times. I know, even if you're a savior, I know we've given God opportunity and reason to be done with us. But yet, somebody was possibly interceding. And praying. I guarantee it's been done for us. May we be willing to do it for others. But let me tell you something, sir, ma'am. Look here. You're on a thin edge. You're on a thin edge. You may be just like Balaam. Just like Balaam. Only reason you're around here is because somebody's got more sense than you got. Somebody sees what you can't see. Somebody's got compassion you ain't got. Somebody's got character you ain't got. And they're trying to pray and get a hold of God for you. God's giving you a chance. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know what you'll do with it. But you're going to overplay your hand one day. If you're not careful, you're going to overplay your hand. And it's too late. I give you a personal testimony and I'm done. I went and we had been married long, about a year and a half. And the Lord sent me over to the Azores. And I got over there and I grew leaps and bounds in the 2 months I was there. A little mission church there. And I just grew in the Lord. And Sarah had got saved about a year before. Right, she thought she was saved. But we got married. 6 months later, she realized she wasn't. She got born again. Praise God for that. But God dealt with me about some things that need to be done different at the house. God dealt with me about some ways that I felt like was not appropriate for clothing for Sarah to wear and other things. But I got back and I thought, Lord, what if she leaves me? Lord, what if she leaves me? And I compromised. And I destroyed my fellowship with God for a year. I've told you before. We would have company over. Or I'd put up the big front. But when they left, I was miserable. I'd just sit there. Or I stayed in church. Read my Bible. Pray. Inside, just dead miserable. About a year later, I was sitting in there on Dorchester Road in our apartment, Donnery Village Apartments, sitting in the chair in the living room, reading my Bible, and the Lord said, son, I'm going to give you another chance. You're going to get some things in order in this home? Well, I went to the drawer and got the scissors out and cut the lace off my britches. And I went in there to the bedroom where she is at, and I said, honey, I love you, and I'll never put you away. I said, sweetheart, there's some things that have to be and will be done different in this home. I said, honey, I'll show you what the Bible says, but this is what it's going to be. And it had to do with the way, some of the way she dressed. Nothing outlandish. She wasn't dressing like a, but there were ways that I felt like. And ways that she didn't see at first. Listen to me. Now she told me later, she said, Jonathan, I got mad, but I wasn't mad at you. She goes, I knew you were right. But I didn't want to do right at first. There were some ways, some articles of clothing, I told her, and honey, you ain't gonna wear this. You understand me? I didn't wait for her to get convicted. I told her. Listen to me. She said, Jonathan, when I obeyed you, I immediately understood. She goes, some things you told me to do, I did not understand until I obeyed you. When I obeyed you, it was plain as day. She understood it. Now I'm gonna tell you right now, brother, look here. God gave me another chance. I know this. I'd never been here today. I don't know if I'd been alive. But I know this. I wouldn't have been here today if I'd have squandered that. I believe that with all my heart. God's good. God had every right to say, you stubborn thing. I helped you. I did things for you. You grew leaps and bounds. And now you're putting your wife before me. You're done. You think I'd have stood before God and said, Lord, you wasn't right. Are you kidding me? He'd been perfectly right to have done that. But you know what? He was merciful. Oh, thank God for His mercy and His grace. But don't presuppose upon His mercy, folks. Don't take it for granted. You're accountable when the things that you know. I'm going to leave you just with this. Do you know that you're the Lord? Do you know? Have you met God through Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? If not, you can be. Find out where you are with God. If you're saved, are you playing games? Are you just going through the external motions? Are some things not right and you keep pointing everything else for the excuse and trying to blame everybody else when it's you? And you need to deal with you. Is that the case? Maybe God's giving you a chance. You may give God every chance to say, that's it. But somebody's praying for you. Saints, don't get discouraged. Don't go and say, forget it. You know what? No. Don't let it be said that an ass was willing to take advantage of every opportunity and show more compassion, more fear, more insight, more reason than you and I. That ass did everything she could do. You need to do what you can. You talk to somebody, do what you can do. When you can't, just buckle under, go flat down, and fall on your face before God. Father, Lord, I pray in spite of me, you could take this, Lord, just my feeble messing attempts, Lord. I know the truths. I know the principles brought forth are right, Lord. They definitely could be put together, no doubt, in a better way. But, Lord, in spite of me, bless these principles. Bless these truths. Lord, bless your word. Lord, you know where we're all at, where we need to be. Father, if there's someone here or listening that's in need of salvation, Father, draw them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, please. Lord, if there's a matter that needs to be resolved in somebody's life, dear God, may they not presume upon your patience. Dear God, may they quickly get things taken care of. Open their eyes, Father. And oh, Father, may it not be said that Balaam's ass had more character than we do. And Father, I ask this according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.